welcome to the Diary 101 podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandelo Kandepwe, also known as Aka. Another day, another dollar. Ha, it's almost December, and this might be released in January. Interesting. But today's guest and I had a whole therapy session for 30 minutes, which was fun. So I don't even know how to introduce him. But some of the familiar faces you see, like, don't we all see him on television? Don't we all see him on campaigns? And like wondering, what does this guy actually do for a living? So we can join him on this journey. I do wonder. So today's guest is Tapiwa Ngoma. Hi, Tapiwa.
Where are the effects? Where are the clapping effects? I'm trying to make them.
My goodness.
There we go. Hi, Sophie. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
It
feels like we've been talking. I'm great. It feels like we've been talking for 42 minutes, which we were. Recording the podcast.
It's that deep, guys. But so.
We have started it earlier.
For other people that don't know that my other name is Sophie, Tapiwa prefers to call me Sophie.
Oh, yeah.
This is gonna be the first time on the podcast someone calling me Sophie. Backstory. Yeah. Only my dad calls me Sophie, so we do not know what his attachment is. So we
two.
Move on from
only that. No correction. Only two people call you Sophie: your dad and myself.
Ah, okay, sure.
There we go.
So if you describe yourself right now, what would you say Tapiwa is? How would you describe yourself?
It's huge. I think talking about, you need to understand one thing as this whole podcast is going to go, which is me being on the other end of an interview is so weird. Like, I do this every day. I talk to people, I interview people. So me being on the other end of this, which is me answering questions, is very weird. Let's start there. But I'll try my best. So if I'm going to describe myself, I'm a couple of things. I think loud is one of them. I'm a pretty loud person. Very optimistic. I always love to see silver lining in things. I'm so annoying. My optimism is to a point where it's so annoying, where it's just like, dude, are you not, like, the reality hasn't hit you, you know, that type of annoying. But ultimately, I think I'm an interesting person. I like to think I'm an interesting person because most of the people that I hang out with, I think we always have a good time.
I get it. That sounds like something everybody would say about themselves.
Well.
Like, it sounds so ordinary. Yeah, like, no, others would say I'm a pessimist compared to being an optimist. So it's like, okay. Yeah, it sounds like something I would do if I don't want to have a deep conversation with somebody, which is every time. So if I wanted to kind of learn about you and just when I see you on TV, I can already see those traits, right? Like,
yeah.
Charismatic and everything. But like behind all the facade and all the glory, the success we see, like how would you like describe yourself?
I think, to be honest, I think I'm one of the very few people that it's literally what you see is what you get, in a sense, because most people will see me on TV and they'll be like, oh, you're very energetic. You know, you sound pretty good. But even in person, it's pretty much the same thing. I can say that away from my work, when I meet people in other spaces and then we meet and we're having a conversation, they'll still be like, oh, you're still like, you know, like hyper. It could be in the morning, you're hyper in the morning. It could be in the evening, you're still hyper in the evening. So I learned something early on in my career, which was people fall in love with your actual personality. So when you go on TV or on radio, you don't necessarily switch up your personality to try to create this new thing. Even the way you talk, it has to be consistent, because the lesson for me was the way you speak has to be exactly the way you speak when you're talking to people on a day-to-day basis. So I have had the opportunity and the privilege to just literally be myself in any space, especially on TV and radio. And that has worked out beautifully for me. So when people see me on TV, they hear me say something on TV or they see me act a certain way on TV, it's literally the way they'll see me when we're in person and we meet, and on my social media as well. It might be a bit different if we don't know each other that much, because I know with some people who've seen me at an event or whatever will probably be like, Tepo, you look like you're rude in terms of like you don't look so approachable, and like I'm scared to come and say hi. that has happened a couple of times. But trust, if someone says hi to me and we're somewhere, then it's going to be all vibes. So I literally just give the same energy in person and on air again.
That's so interesting. I have never gotten... It would be normal if someone's called me rude and unapproachable. That's me every day. Like, I actually want you not to approach me, just in case people wonder. Like, you see me at an event, of course I don't want you to approach me, but if you will, I'll probably make it an interesting thing. I didn't know that about you. You have such a lovable personality.
Thank you.
Far and close by. I have interacted with the both sides of the coin, to know you from afar and actually know you interpersonal. And I think you have such a lovable personality. So does it mean it's perspective? So probably it's in their head that you're rude. And it has like nothing to do with you. Or it's like, okay, I don't think it's real. So it's like, it's interesting.
I hope I'm not out there. People are just thinking to themselves, like, he's such an a-hole. That guy is such an a-hole. No, not really. Like, let's just have a conversation. Because unlike someone like you, Sophie, who, you know, like burns out their energy and sometimes doesn't want to be approached or doesn't want to be in a situation, my thing is I always generate energy. So even when I've had a long day and I'm really tired, if I'm in a space where people are, ultimately, and someone wants to engage with me and the like, I will still have a conversation. Sometimes I go out of my way to keep a conversation going, even when they don't like understand what to say next, just so I can make them feel comfortable. I think one of my guilty pleasures, well, it's not really a guilty pleasure, it's more of a curse in a sense, is trying to make people feel comfortable in a space. And that's usually to my own detriment, because that takes a lot of energy, it takes a lot of creativity, it takes a lot of thinking for you to be in a space with someone and you want to make them feel comfortable. It's not even your responsibility, because others are just awkward like that and they've already made the effort to come and talk to you, so you want to keep things going. So that's how I usually try, that's how I usually do it. You can only imagine when it's a weekend, I'm super tired because I've done a lot of talking from Monday all the way to Friday, a lot of trying to make people feel comfortable. That's why on weekends, I'd rather be home.
It kind of makes sense. For all those a little bit lost, Tapio is an extrovert. I'm an introvert, right?
Yep.
So he draws energy by engaging with people, making everybody laugh, talking, just being a social butterfly. I draw energy sitting in my bed, reading a book, watching Netflix, and also just chilling with my closest friends and family. So like really different how we draw energy. It's very interesting to know that Tepiwa now actually depletes earlier than he used to. I guess he's just growing old, guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess he's growing old. Say that out loud again. And with that, do you have any boundaries to know when is it just time out? I am not indulging in this, I'm out.
Yes, I do. It's something I learned, because one of the things I love to do, and I guess this is where you and I converge in terms of mutual interests, is to network, except you do it a different way and I do it a different way. Different approaches, but ultimately it's the same goal, which is meet people who you know could elevate you in a sense. It could be professionally, it could be personally. I enjoy meeting people and trying to learn. So I've learned a couple of things on how to network the right way, which is pretty interesting, because I was having an interview with someone, a friend of mine, her name is Jedidiah, on my show on Diamond TV. We were talking about how to network effectively, and we pretty much just gave a bunch of tips out there on how people should do it, especially young people. One of the things I learned is when you're meeting new people and you're meeting high profile people that you eventually want to get something from, you want to be the type of person that doesn't waste people's time, you know? You don't want to meet to go to the managing director of a bank and then you're just making small talk. That's ridiculous. So I learned the skill of, if I want to meet someone high profile, I know they don't have a lot of time at this event and I need to leave a lasting impression, I need to go there with something, right? I don't want to go there and start making small talk and waste their time. I need to go there, hit the nail on the head, straight to the point, make sense, and then, you know, build that connection. So that's how I've learned to also build boundaries in my own capacity, because in the same way, when I am out networking or I'm at an event, the same way I want to meet other people and engage with them, there's a high chance that there's someone out there who would want to engage with me because they've seen me somewhere or seen me do something. So I don't appreciate it when someone just comes there and all they want to do is make small talk. This might sound rude, maybe that's why most people will say I'm rude, but I'm not really interested in making like new friends. I think it gets to a point where you've gone through high school. No, that's just the truth. That's just the truth. I'm not interested in making new friends. Apologies to whoever wanted to be friends with me, but that's just the reality. I think you really make, anyways, I've been fortunate to like make genuine friendships throughout high school and also university. I feel university is a place where you solidify relationships. The people you walk out with in university are most likely going to be the uncles or aunties to your kids. So that's what I've done, right? I've been fortunate to have a few people that I've been with all the way from Livingston Primary School. We've gone to the same university. It was still very close. One of my best friends is that person. And I've also made new connections there. And now we're like very close friends. So when I meet people, I'm not looking to get into like a friendship thing. I'm not interested in that. Like, we can be acquaintances, which is also good, which is we're not really talking on a daily basis. We're not really having these personal conversations, but we've got that thing going on. So that's how I also see it with networking. People will come to me and they're just trying to make small talk. Hey, can I have your number? Can I text you sometime? Why do you want to text me sometime? Like, what's the agenda? Do you just want to start talking? So I've given a few, regrettably, I've given a few people my number when I'm at an event. And they'll just hit me up and go like, what's up, bro? Okay, cool. Yeah, what's up? I'm good. How are you doing? I'm also good. What are you up to? Are you serious? So that what? No, start asking each other what we're up to. So yeah, that's my thing. That's how I think I create boundaries. I try to establish whoever is, you know, engaging with me, what they would like out of this. I'm more than happy to assist someone in any way I can if they want help. But ultimately, there's that boundary, which is like, I would give you whatever you want because I understand the trade. I also want things from people. I'll give you whatever you want and whatever you need. To my capacity, but I'm not going to start making small talk. I honestly don't think I've got the time for that, unfortunately.
I like that. You kind of brought up something I love to talk about is, I think we all should have our friends. Friends are such an anchor in your life. When you have your circle of friends that you can always go back to, have fun with, like when you have your community and your people, it's something you need. And like you, I have friends already, guys, also like, just like Pepe, I have friends, but I also like meeting new people and helping them experience life in a different light in my own capacity. So I actually, so far, I no longer do social events. It's rare to find me at a social event. It is. Have you ever found me at a social event?
To be fair, I've never found you anywhere. Like, we don't, I think we've got so, like, two, so different environments that are so different and far apart that I don't think I'd ever find you.
You actually would if I wanted to. The whole, how is it? Yeah, I just don't want to be found. I just don't want to be in the situation where anyone should quote me and say, that girl from that podcast is not nice or she's rude. Like, I don't want to be in that situation in the first place. So I avoid places that I know. Great. I will meet people. I will meet big shots and everything. Good for you. Good for everybody. I'm past that point in networking. Like, how I network is very different for other reasons anyway. You just won't find me at that event. But you'll probably find me at a place where if I'm shopping and, which I do a lot, if I'm at a bookstore and you'd probably get more from me there than you'd ever attend at an event place. And that's what, taking you back to a thing about networking, like just because everybody's working for everybody to network at networking events doesn't mean that's the only way to network. Doesn't mean it's the only way to meet people. Like, if you walk in, if you get out of your house and look at it and say, there's so much possibility for me, you'd be surprised how meeting somebody at a bookstore or shopping, that's me anyway, don't do it if you're starting out in your career. You'd be surprised to find more meaningful relationships than going at a networking event and trying to talk to every big shot and getting their number. Trust me, they do it out of, we all do it out of courtesy. Me, I won't even text you back. I actually tell them, can I get your LinkedIn?
That's a safe space.
Yeah, it's a safe space. Like, you already know it's the professional setting. And also, like, I hope we can also start having conversations where we can just highlight to people, say, we're not friends, but acquaintances. We were classmates in high school. We were classmates in university. We are workmates and colleagues. I feel like that's so underrated, Nia, because how is everybody your friend? I have friends of a friend who love.
True.
And I also know to say, because I'm also such a people pleaser, right? I always want to please people.
It's a curse.
Yeah, that's why I just now not put myself in a position where my instincts take me to people pleasing. So I always remove myself from situations that, if I can, I just want to. So one smart way is when you have your closest community also has acquaintances and friends. You can always tap into that. I have a lot of people telling me, you look familiar. And I'm like, definitely one of my friends was talking about me. Definitely one of my acquaintances shared something about that, what I do, and that's how you found the name. Found out about me. So I think it's a very healthy habit. And honestly, I also want to say, so you people who are making friends now, what were you doing in high school? As an adult.
Bro, it's not our problem that you did not make genuine connections in your youth.
Five. All those I invited to my wedding. You meet me on the internet. You gotta be friends? How?
Get about it.
No. Like, people who...
And now you know what sucks?
No.
What actually sucks is these individuals now start to make you feel bad about not engaging the way they want you to engage with them. Like, bro, like, I don't... No. You know? It's nothing... It's not personal. It's not a personal thing. Let's just keep it that way. It's okay for us to text once every quarter, check up on each other, or if you need me for something, because you know the work that I do, you probably want to inquire about something, or you want to get information, I'll gladly do that. It's not like I hate you, but I'm also saying that I don't have time for small talk. And it's nothing, it's not a bad thing, you know? It's not. Let's just keep it that way.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I literally like people to get to their point when they're talking to me.
Exactly.
Like, that's why I prefer phone calls to messages. Like, why? Like, can I just call you and I talk to you for 1 minute and I'm out? Then why are we going back and forth on things that are unclear? And I think everybody just knows how fast of a person I am. It's either I'm doing it now or I'm not. And I just think that... It's like the same way I tell people I don't owe you a greeting, but I do it out of courtesy. It's the same way no one goes in the world owing you a friendship. Like, sometimes, of course, you're going to meet people that you genuinely like. I have met, and my default is I like meeting people. So I meet a lot of people, and we genuinely make a good connection. And probably most of them are never Zambian. And so we keep in touch, we share opportunities. And if they tell me, Aka, I want us to take a trip, I would. I genuinely like you and we have something in common that we both like and would like to explore. It's okay to have such relationships. Like, I have friends that I always talk fashion with, friends I talk business with, friends that I talk everything about, friends that we do everything with. I have my best friends. Like, I have everybody in a category. So when meeting somebody new is, it's hard to talk shop because it's just not about me. You having access to me also feels like you want to have access to all these people, and all these people are private. So we have boundaries already. So sometimes even when I meet my friends, and they're like, let's exchange numbers, let's call, let's meet up, let's drink. It's when you are drinking with my friend and they're your friends, so we'll meet your friends, right? They're managing the whole situation. If it's you and I alone, I have to manage this. I have to manage the energy levels. I have to manage conversation. Like, I have to think about every little detail. Or what I can do is just not put myself in that situation. But if I bump into you, of course we're going to catch up for 5 minutes and leave it. Yeah, exactly. I think it's actually met somebody last week who was like, why haven't I seen you a long time? You stay 10 minutes away from my house. And I'm like, there's no need to try to trip me in this. It won't even work. I see right through it. I just do want to be there. But again, being nice can't say that to somebody's face. Really, guys, being a nice person is so hard. Just saying.
And it's okay. It's okay to have relationships like that.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, but it's just the expectation of young people to say, if I know you from TV, I should have access to you. And if I don't, I'm going to say I'm not a good person. Which is like, doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't at all.
But I've had people reach out to me and tell me what exactly they want. It's like, you give me the information of, so I can make an informed. You're like, oh, hi, Aka. My name is this. How are you doing? And you give me the information of exactly what you want, so I can make an informed decision to invest time in this or not, or I can refer you to somebody else.
Yeah, I think more people should try to do that. So, because even when I say that, I'm at a point where I'm not really making friends. I don't want to make friends. I genuinely, that's why I said even acquaintances. So an acquaintance is obviously someone you know, but you don't necessarily have like a deep conversation with. We can have conversations about away from work, you know, what you're like, you know, just exactly like it's just social conversations. We can do that. We can probably hang out as well, but we're not going to.
You're such a nice person. You hang out.
Yeah, like. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you're going to be in a situation where a person is like, you're out and then they meet you somewhere, or you meet them somewhere and then they sit with you and stuff. Sure, we can do that because I'm familiar with you. Because you also need to understand one thing from my end, Sophie. It's very tricky waters to navigate where if someone knows or someone has met you before, they always expect that you remember them, and sometimes it's a bit embarrassing if you're acquainted with someone and then they meet you in public and then they're like, oh, hey Tapio, how's it going, you know, like all friendly and stuff, then you give them like a weird look with, I don't like, you know, it's very weird. So sometimes it's people expect you, and I guess it's fine, I'm okay with it, I'm extroverted, I've got the energy, I'll endow you, which is like also reciprocate the energy and stuff, because again, if you're in the public eye in terms of like the work that you do, you want to be like a likable character, you know, you don't want to be like an a-hole. It's a very, very different. But if I had, yeah, obviously. And also I hate being rude to people. So I will indulge you. I'll, you know, hype you up and do whatever. The moment will pass. It's fine.
I don't think I am a likable person.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, me trying to be a likable person is me trying to please you. Like, if I'm trying to be likable, like people that know me really do think I'm an asshole. Like, on any given day, like, I'm just like, I am so straightforward. Like, it's not natural for our culture, because we're supposed to indulge and we're supposed to do this and this and this and this. But because I have limited energy, and I see why I'm not found in public places. Like, if you've ever been wondering why I'm not found in public places, I have specific experience I go to. It's because it takes a lot to be likable. It really does. Like I'm
It
so
does. It does.
like I just don't indulge you. Like it's nothing personal. You really guys, you should really work on yourself so that you now understand not everything is personal. It's a lot. But now I also realize because of the podcast, I'm more out of the eye because I'm like, I just don't want anybody quoting me. Like, okay, man, you listen to the podcast, you might quote me because I've said a lot today. But like I
Yeah.
just don't want to be quoted. Like I like and I've also seen that with other people that I know like we're acquainted and I've done stuff for you. But because we're in public or and I do not have the amount of firm you have or you are successful, you see me and I greet you and you give me a side eye. Like I never do that to people. Like I genuinely like talking to people, but it's a lot of energy, so I don't want to just be that put myself in that situation if I don't have the energy. But for other people that also do that and they are successful and famous, makes me question if I hear something and I know and I'm gonna give it to you because I'm like, you're not like
Yeah, I get
nice.
totally get it.
But now I also look at the other end to just say, because I don't like how a lot of people tell me you look familiar. Have I seen you somewhere? Because someone's so excited to see me. But then again, you didn't know I'm pretending. Because I really do. Yeah, it's like, it's a
You're in the
lot.
wrong business.
But I also think it's a cost of
It
the
is
thing
the
I
cost
want to
of
achieve.
being.
It's so, like, for me, socially interacting with people is the cost to my success. Like, when I really get successful, I will literally. Okay, I'm still limited. Like it's a cost, but I'm managing that cost. If that makes sense. Like for me, I understand that this is the cost of the success I want, but how do I still manage it and still remain sane? That's why I go out with my friends more. That's why But again, my friends say I know people more people than they do.
Yeah, because I think you're out there. You are out there. It is possible to balance the two because I also know a pretty, I know well, she's an acquaintance of mine, again, which is okay, who is very introverted, but she is in the media space. So she, and she does a lot, like she hosts events, she like has been on radio, TV and stuff, but she's very introverted. She doesn't enjoy being out there, but she still makes it work, which is like she knows where to, when to do this, when not to do this. And she strikes that balance, but it does exhaust her because, you know, being an introverted stuff. So it is something that is possible and can be balanced.
Yeah, I do. I think I'm leaning more into having this conversation because I've met a lot of people, and some people might relate because the likable people are the extroverts. So the expectance is are all supposed to be liked if you are. But then, literally, the human being actually enjoys doing that. The rest of us are barely breathing.
Yeah, that's true.
So with you, how do you see your work-life balance right now? Like, do you have a work-life balance or you're just all work?
I had a very interesting conversation with myself, which was I'm naturally I'm a workaholic, I think. I get so into my work that it gets to a point where everything else sort of like dims down. So I noticed that that was like a very, that's not a very good place to be in. But at the same time, this for the young people listening, it's also a good thing you need to do. You need to find a balance where you know when you can work your ass off to achieve what, to get what you want, because this is the only time you're going to have the energy to do something like this. When you're older, you can't do that. You don't have the zeal, you don't have the fire. You cannot even afford to be broke, right? So when you're young is when you need to like go all in, you know, do the extra work, I feel. If they need someone extra hands on something, you know, you get to do it. That way you get that exposure, you get being out there, and then you get more opportunities because people be like, I'm fine now, as I was saying, so that's my experience. That's how my experience has been with being like very hard, like putting my whole so into work, and it's worked out for me. That's why I can comfortably say I've gotten to this point where I really wanted to be a few years ago, and it keeps growing from there. But at the same time, I had a conversation with myself, which was I needed to strike a balance. Because I looked at all aspects of my life. I looked at my professional life, my personal life, my spiritual life. I looked at my physical and mental life, and I noticed that there was a very great imbalance. Yeah, I was succeeding with work, where it's like I'm rising pretty quickly in terms of recognition and also my craft, learning my craft, getting more comfortable talking to people and being in front of the camera. But at the same time, I noticed that other areas were suffering, which is like my health in terms of watching what I'm eating, my physique in terms of, am I doing any exercises? Am I working out? Am I physically fit? Spiritually, which is essentially, am I building my relationship with God? Am I, reading my Bible? Am I growing that aspect? So I then decided to strike that balance. I said, you know what? I think I need to be deliberate about evenly sharing my time, which is dedicating my time to this. When it's work time, I do my work. And thank God, or fortunately, this realization came after I had already done like the heavy lifting with where I wanted to be. And then I started getting that recognition. So I could afford spread this out, which was important for me. So now I'm at a point where I started to literally spread things out. So fortunately, I can do my work. I know what time I'm done with work. If I need to do extra work, that comes with discipline. Now, if I know I need to do extra work and beat deadlines and whatever, I will dedicate that time. But I also deliberately put time aside to work out, for instance, to watch my physical health. I go to the gym, eat healthy, watch my, because the times where I would like literally miss lunch or miss breakfast because I'm so busy with work, now I'm deliberate. I say, okay, let me pause. It's just time for me to eat, because that also was a problem. And I've noticed the past, especially this year, I've noticed my life really strike a very good balance in terms of my physical well-being and also my mental well-being and also my professional life. Things have balanced out. And so, yeah, I found a formula. Obviously, it can do more work, especially when it comes to like my personal life with my family and stuff. More time can be dedicated to, visiting my family, calling them, having these chats and stuff. That's what I think my goal for next year, 2025, is going to be.
That makes a lot of sense. I like something you mentioned. Knowing when it's possible to have the leverage to negotiate certain stuff, right? If you're starting out your career, it's hard to negotiate certain stuff because you don't have leverage. No one knows how you work. No one would vouch for you. Like, you have no champion in a room to say, yeah, Tepo does deserve a day off, or does deserve the nights off with us, not trying to get him to do stuff, this and that and that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think one of the things is a lot of us, a lot of people our age, think that comes naturally. Like, we think we deserve stuff we did not earn. It's like, like, you think you deserve to get a 10K, you think you deserve this just because you probably have a degree or just for surviving. While for others, they actually did put in the work. So you want to negotiate certain stuff early when you don't even have the leverage or no one can even vouch for you. That's so interesting. It's something I tell myself all the time. Anyway, I'm part of the people that think sometimes that should be easier for me. But then I'm realizing, I'm going into a different sector. Like, it could have been easier if I did some, if I continued what I'm doing. But now that I've pivoted, that won't be easier. Or maybe it won't come as faster because I still have to show people that I bring value. So yeah. And also, I like that you mentioned that and realized that the one sector that might be lagging is like friends and family. I think I made the decision after COVID, because I was so isolated and depressed and anxious, that I would do stuff I don't enjoy. That did include the social events. That also included social media. Mm-hmm. Like, I only share stuff I enjoy and close to my heart and value. And also, I think something I told myself internally was, I'll always have a phone call with a friend every week, and I'll always have a phone call with a family member every week. It's not easy, but I actually always have those phone calls. Like, even them, they know to say, oh, okay, I haven't talked to you in more than a week or two. You're going to get a phone call. So it's not even just me making the phone call. At first, it was always me, like, pushing around and trying to create that relationship. But now it's like someone will say, oh, I haven't talked to you in a long time. And my friend saying in a long time, it's a week.
Yeah. That's healthy. That's very healthy.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't seen you in a long time. I was with you 2 days ago. So it's good to realize that that's lacking. And mm-hmm. Yeah, I also think for men, it's different how you build your relationships. So I hear it's not like us women. Like women really, I think building relationships, especially friends, comes, I think, from studies and just my observations, comes so naturally for women than for men. For more women than men, anyway. So I don't know how that's working out for you. Like,
yeah.
Men, you can stay a long time without talking to each other, and you're good, right?
Mm-hmm,
true. Or do you have parts where you're constantly talking and it's making sense, or you just go like, "Well, good," and you move on with your lives?
I think that's the importance of having those close friends, right? Where you have really close friends where you constantly check on each other. And what my friends and I have done subconsciously actually is, and we can use more work with this with my very close friends, is we try to check on each other to understand what our states are, because, and I try to encourage this with my friends a lot, which is, we need to get to a point where, bro, like, I know everything about you. I know your current financial situation. I know your current career progression. I know where you are with your family, with your girlfriend. You know, that way I can check on you and also offer support as much as possible. Because with men, like you've already rightly put it, is we feel like talking about our problems is a burden on someone else. At least I also feel that's the way I look at it. When you talk about your problems, you feel like you're just burdening someone. But it is important that you have a community of very close friends where you check on each other. Like right now, I know if my friend is struggling with work, I constantly check on him because I know that's a pressure point. He's probably, you know, getting to a point where he's maybe even depressed because he's not doing well, or he's not making enough money as he would like to, or he's got some other pressure. So you just constantly check on them. And with this, one of my favorite things to do is have conversations with people. I enjoy talking to people. I enjoy listening to people. I enjoy talking to them. So I know the value of a listening ear, because people enjoy to talk as well. It's just different levels of talking. Others, I promise you, even with an introverted person, someone doesn't talk much. The moment they're just comfortable and they want to say what's on their mind, they will talk for a very long time. And that's why I like to encourage with my friends, which is like, let's get to a point where we can literally talk about anything. If you're going through something, I just sit there and listen to you talk. If I've got some good advice, I'll give it to you. If I've got some encouraging, you know, words, I'll give them to you. If I don't have anything, we're still comfortable. I hear you. I get what you're saying. I'll be on the lookout for a better situation. So yeah, I think that's one thing my friends and I have done a pretty good job of so far. It can improve simply because there's always room for improvement on how often we check on each other and how often we have really in-depth conversations away from just chilling. But that's something that's a place where I would love for us to get to, and a lot of other people, especially men, and to get to, because men don't talk much about their problems.
Yeah, it's so true. Like men, because again, it's how you're raised, right? You're raised that you're the head of the family. You need to figure things out. Like, you need to not cry, not share emotions. It's like that shows a weakness of some sort. So it's like all of us are going through a lot. Like, it's not favorable for all of us. So yeah, I hope men can really just have their communities. Because for me, it's also like, on a personal note, like, for me, a red flag is someone with no friends. Because there are certain things about people I shouldn't just know. Like, it's a red flag. Yeah. Like, don't you have friends to say that to? Like, I've had strangers say stuff to me. Like, don't you have friends? I have guys that are asking me out. And I'm like, I can't be your friend. like, of course, there's that element of friendship, but I'm not your friend. Like, I'm not supposed to know that. Like, that's ammunition. I'll use that against you. Like, don't trust me. Like, don't, like, honestly, don't you have friends? And I've seen that this year, I have just told a lot of people that you need friends. You need to find your people. And I might not be that for you because I have mine, but I'm happy to support you. I wouldn't want to be in your inner circle, but I'm happy to be in the sidelines on a different table, clapping for you. But you always kind of want to have friends because I've heard a lot of stuff and friendship this year. And I'm just like, you all need friends. Like, half of the things that happen to me are not on social media. I don't have to write a whole letter. Like, my friends would be like, why are you writing that on social media? Like, what's going on? Like, you need people that gain nothing, gain or lose nothing, and can just say it to your face. And if you get offended, you get over it because yeah, they're your people. So yeah, it's, we all just need friends, to be honest. I hope. And I now also, because our lives are so on social media, and we have these people liking and giving kudos, and people, and that people, we don't know them, we think they're our friends. So we put ourselves more out there than actually cultivating the friendships we need to keep us sane.
True. That is true. I am 100% behind you on that.
When you look back, or when you think about 2024, what are some of the lessons you learned?
There is patience. I think patience is really a virtue. You definitely need to be patient with when something is meant for you. It will come. But also, I think that coupled would probably would be the second lesson, is you need to be deliberate. I think because at the beginning of the year, not this year, last year, somewhere mid last year, I was on this trajectory of saying your life could really change in a year. It could significantly change in a year. And I was just saying that a lot. I'd be like, a year is enough time for your life to turn around. If you were broke, you can have some money. If you had some money, you can have even more money. If you're in a really tough situation, it can significantly change in a year. And I've seen that happen because a lot has happened between last year, September, till now for me. And I think it also starts with being deliberate about it. So one, being patient, understanding that your time will come, being deliberate, which is also being open to see opportunities. You need to put yourself out there where you're in a position where if something shows up, you take advantage of it. And I think the third thing would also be preparing. Like, you need to be prepared. If there's something that you want manifested for you, you need to be in a position to be able to receive it or handle it. And that also goes hand in hand with opportunity. Ooh. So if, for instance, you want to be someone, you want to find yourself in a particular space, or you want to have a particular job, the only way you're going to see opportunities to get that job is if you put yourself in that space. Because now you start seeing everything. I like to give this example because I heard it somewhere on the internet, which was, if someone says they want a red Mark X, for instance, and they want to buy that car, guess what? What all they'll be seeing is a red Mark X everywhere. It's not theirs, true, but it's there. You start seeing it. It's now part of your brain and it's embedded in your mind. And then you start seeing those opportunities. So that's the same way it works with whatever you want to achieve. It could be growing your podcast. It could be getting that job. It could be making more money in, you know, like any business deal or whatever. Because the more you start being deliberate about what you want and then paying attention to what you want, the more opportunities you see to get where you want to be. So I think those are some of the things. They're intertwined a little bit, but individually split. Those are some of the things that I think have been very prevalent for me this year, which is the patience, definitely being prepared to take advantage of any opportunity, and also being deliberate and placing yourself in a position where you can take advantage of those opportunities.
I like the one where you talk about you kind of have to be ready. It's something I always tell my friends. It's, if you want to go abroad and you don't have a passport and an opportunity comes for you to go abroad, but you're going to miss it because you just don't have a passport, you know what I mean? Like, you want something, but you're not fully, you don't fully want it. And I remember when I'm very deliberate when it comes to just myself and my goals and my dreams. And when I got my mentor, I think 3 years ago, I said, I want to start traveling more for scholarships, conferences, and I want them to be fully paid, right? So my mentor said, so what do you need to do now for you to be able to be in that position where people look at you and say, yes, we can fly you to a different country, you're worth it, right? And my sister just said, you want to fly abroad and you don't have a passport?
Yeah.
The first task was, if the opportunity comes, you don't have a passport. By the way, this is Zambia.
What are you going to do?
6 months. What are you going to do? So I actually did get my passport, right? Like, I did get my passport, and it took about 8 months for it to just get ready. But I also kept applying for opportunities for me to do that. And I was given that opportunity. And the first thing was, my sister's the first, you met her, right? Like, she's the first person that always knows everything. So she goes like, the passport was worth it. Like, you forget that you have this good news. She just goes like, we did well to get that passport. You know what I mean? So if you're not ready, God can't give you something you can't sustain.
Exactly.
Like, it's a fact. Like, you want to pour water, but you want people to pour water into you, but you don't even pour water in yourself. Right? Like, you don't pour water into your glass anyway.
Bro, you don't even have a cup. You're not even holding a cup. How do you expect to
You don't even water? Know that you need a cup.
Exactly.
So if I would break that down is, for example, you're a student and you want to get a job, right? But you don't know what type of job you'd like to work on. Like, it doesn't matter what you're studying. But then you're like, I want to get a job, I want to get a job. What job do you want? Like, what do you want to get from that job? Like, you haven't asked yourself those questions. So it doesn't make sense for somebody to offer you that job. Yeah, I think it's something
we talk about
a lot. Because I think a lot of people think people are not deliberate. Like, everything I've been doing for 3 years has been deliberate, leading me to a certain point of my life. Of course, goals change, you need to be flexible and everything. But, like, I'm being led to one path. No, I'm being led to one destination, but I'm using different paths. But I know myself not like I'm still gonna get there, but it's okay for me to use the different paths. But I only know that because I'm deliberate and I'm having these conversations and I have a mentor or something. So yeah, I really like your lessons. Different from mine, but yeah, I like yours.
What are your top three?
Letting go is love.
Okay.
I went through
it sound like it's from a place of heartbreak.
Is it? Yeah, it comes from a place of you reach crossroads with somebody you've known for so many years and come from a place of love where you realize that I think sometimes we always think that heartbreak has to be very heartbreaking or heartbreak has to be very bad for you to reach a point where you just make a decision to let it go, right? Like, both parties don't have to agree, but you reach a crossroad and you're like, this is becoming toxic and it's okay for us to acknowledge this. We are going different directions. It doesn't make sense for us to stick around. Even if it's been so many years, but I'm also grateful that you are there. I think my default is, if I have a breakup with somebody, I always go back to the part of gratitude. Like, I'm so grateful that you are here. Like, it doesn't take away everything else. It's very debatable. My friends would be saying it's very debatable. But I always like to look at it that way. Like, I'm like, this person was not a nice person to me, but everybody's a nice person or everybody's a good person, but they're probably nice to you. So I think letting go is love also puts in boundaries for me. Like, I'm a people pleaser, so it's like I will try to sustain relationships at my own risk. So reaching a point where you can just tell people to say, this is not for me, and that's enough. And I don't feel gaslighted or I don't feel guilty. And it's a lot of people, right? Like, I'm thinking about them right now. It's a lot of people that I'm always just like, I get it, but this is not for me right now. And I'm no longer that person, but I'm really rooting for you. but in a different room, not even from the same room. Like, I just literally need to be in a different room. And if we reach a point in the future where we can come back and have a conversation, great. I just don't think we'd always be back in the space we're in. So it could be a relationship. It could be friends. Most importantly, friends. It could be family. Very important, because if you don't have boundaries with family, it would drain you. So it's knowing what to say, not saying, and just saying, okay, just because I'm not doing this doesn't mean I don't love you or respect you. Because sometimes that's how they emotionally blackmail you into doing stuff you don't want to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think my second one is I'm my best friend. I'm my own best friend. Like, I'm the one person that will never leave. So that's health-wise, mental health-wise. I've been more on... like, I've experienced more anxiety this year and panic attacks, but I've also felt like I've been a failure more this year because I just didn't get or hit my targets for the year.
Yeah.
Everybody else say watching are like, you did great. And I'm like, I don't feel like I did great. So it's more on just sitting with myself, sitting with my anxiety, because it's just temporary, right? You'll be depressed. You get depression, you get anxiety. It's not part of my identity. So I know I feel this feeling and it goes away. And that has made me put more boundaries with friends and just relationships and be more explicit with my communication to say, you made me feel this way and I'm letting you know. And I know because I'm a people pleaser, I wouldn't let people know in the end. But then because now I'm letting you know, I know me letting you know is not coming from a place of harm. It's just like, hey, I also value you, but if you treat me this way, I might just not want to be part of your life. So yeah, it's that. The third one is grief is love that has nowhere to go. I lost someone special this year, and that makes me emotional. But yeah, it's, you have, grief is not narrow. You have happy days, you have low days. I actually forgot that this week was my grandfather's anniversary. And when I was talking to my grandma yesterday, I was like, "Well, no one has talked about it." You know what I mean? Like, it's like we've not talked about it, but we also lost my sister. So it's a part where you're grieving, but you're also living life, and you're like, "Am I moving on too quickly? Does she feel like I'm forgetting? Like, what would people think? What do I think about myself? What about my thoughts? Like, where am I as a person?" So yeah, it's. It's interesting. I've had more personal development this year. Like, I've got to learn more about myself and accepted myself more this year and gotten more comfortable, I think, thanks to therapy. Shout out my therapist. She's amazing. Thanks.
Actually, you want to start therapy? I've been toying with that idea.
You should think about it. It's for me, I'm at a point where how long do you stay in therapy? But again, it's not the same. It's not the same things you're going to therapy for, because you're unpacking a lot of stuff. But yeah, like, I'll probably take a break. But every time I take a break, I just get into another dimension and I always need to go back to it. But it's interesting. You learn more about yourself and you look things at a different perspective. Like you and I were doing earlier, I unbox stuff now because I would not want to be guilt-tripped in anything. And I'm also helps me tell the person, say, this is not going to work. So it's a lot of things no longer, like, I no longer get gaslighted as much like I used to. Like, I'm less of a people pleaser. I'm more direct. It comes from a place of love for myself and others. But I'm like, but I do love myself more than I love you. But I love human beings in general, guys. I know it didn't sound like that earlier, but we love human beings in general. Don't we, Tapio? We just like our space too.
I'll definitely do it. I tell my friends that I like the idea of going to, no, not my friends, I've actually told other people. I like the idea of going to a bar and meeting someone who I completely don't know. Oh, this in this case would be like a bartender or whatever, and then just telling them a bunch of things. So I think that's the equivalent of having a, well, I guess like a therapist who you meet and then just unload or offload a couple of things that have been running through your mind and the like.
Yeah, and you also kind of don't want everybody to know you like that. I say this a lot. Like, I say this a lot.
Yeah,
My friends,
true. That's true.
like, my friends know me like that, but there's certain things that I discuss in therapy that I shocked everybody in my family to know that I go to therapy. Right? It's, and maybe now they can see the difference in how I communicate and how explicit I am with certain stuff and my boundaries, because I know my family. But yeah, sometimes you want to just go and talk shit about people in front of somebody. Who not gonna use it against you again? I mean, we live in a world where we're all using stuff against people. So I would rather go to somebody, say it, remains there. I come back as a better person and I smile. So you should. It's a good, it's a good thing. And sometimes you don't always have to go to therapy because something is wrong. Other people go to therapy to just figure out why things seem to be going in one direction. Or why things seem to be fine.
I would definitely consider
and
it.
Honestly, I'm trying to get more men into therapy.
Yeah,
I'm talking
okay.
to men. And this, let me unpack this. I talk to men and I always say two things. You need a community, etc. friends, and some of you need therapy. And I have... And it's because of my therapy that now I can see through people. So I can see through when somebody's trying to manipulate me, gaslight me. I know when I'm trying to gaslight somebody and trying to manipulate them. And because I don't like the feeling, I try not to do it to other people. But it takes a while for men to just accept they need help. So if we can have more people in therapy or just have somebody you can talk to about your issues, it's going to solve a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
For everybody. Like... Sometimes you don't even need alcohol. Like, again, like I saw something somewhere, like a lot of people need to go out, drink more and everything. I think that comes from we're all online on social media more than we are socially meeting. And like we're social beings, like we need interactions. Yeah. But like if we can get more men just talking, even if we don't need to know that, just talking to each other or to a therapist or just a safe space to just get it out. I think would have solved a lot of problems in our country, specifically Zambia. Just saying, but in the world as well, I think we need a lot of that.
Yeah, I think most of the conversations will solve half our problems.
Yeah, like some of you just need a good drink in the conversation.
That's that's it. that's the funny thing. Yeah, that's a funny thing, because when I was on the Diamond Breakfast show this morning, I was talking to my co-host, because we usually do this segment where we look at international news, and every morning the international news is Ukraine has launched something, Russia is upset, pissed, we're going to like blow up this thing, and we're just like, imagine if people just said, you know what, bro, I think I'm tired, let's just go, like, do you want to have a drink, let's just go by the bar and just like sit down and, you know, just have a conversation. And people just went like, you know what, guys, I'm going home. I think I'm just going to go home. I'm tired of all this. Let me just go home. I think that would be something. So a lot of our issues would definitely be solved with just a simple conversation.
And that's true. So I think what keeps me sane as an individual is that, I know you've noticed this, I'm always like, my friends and I are doing this. And I have a bunch of different friends, but it's like the same circle. But then we all do... different activities all together all the time. It's like you're talking to your friend, like I was with this friend, like one of them will go like, why am I struggling alone? I'm picking you all up, we struggle together. You know what I mean? Like having somebody else to talk to about it just makes it lighter. Like you realize that it wasn't even that deep. And I have one friend, every time you're sad, you're happy, you're upset with work, you're stressed, let's go drink. And she's so she's like, let's go take shots.
Yeah,
oh my God.
He loves it.
I hope my family doesn't listen to this episode. But
careful.
I don't think my family listens to my podcast. I don't want to jinx it.
You'll be but surprised. You'll be so surprised.
They're very, could I say sneaky? It's like they're watching and they're not watching. Then one time you hear a comment at a family event, so Imwe Aka did, me.
Yeah,
I saw
exactly.
Oh my goodness.
You'd be surprised.
Oh my goodness. So one thing I'm also curious about is your career. I think you have a very interesting career. Like, your path doesn't look so linear. You're so open to opportunities and working. I feel like you have your day job, then you have like a few projects you're working on, and just you're so open to different possibilities, and it feels like you attract those possibilities. What do you think are your next steps in your career?
It's an interesting question. Next steps. Honestly, I think I want to do more. I would love to do more of the. This is actually a loaded question. I don't know, because I've been doing TV for 3 years now. I started in 2021. I've been on TV for 3 years, and I really think I've grown so much in the 3 years that I've done it. I know there's so much more to learn and so much more to do, and just perfecting my craft. But many people may not know this. My first love, because I'm an all round creative. By that I mean I do photography, I do videography, I do video editing. My biggest love out of everything, even more than presenting, is actually editing videos. I love it. That was the first thing I learned to do as like a full-blown creative, and that's one thing I would love to do more of. So I would love to create stuff for myself, then edit videos and stuff like that. But I think the next steps would be, I've done 3 years. I want to really clock like 5 years of being in TV like that, because I think that's a good number to say, like I'm an expert in a sense. I could do it longer or not, but that really doesn't matter. But I'd like to do more of these, not necessarily being on like a breakfast show or a weekly show, I wouldn't want to be on TV all the time, which is like every day. I would really want to do more of, you know, like a documentary thing, kind of like the current thing that I'm doing with the European Union, where I script some of this stuff, I do a stand-up, and I enjoy those, because I think with those, you're taking more time to craft it together and put it together, and then you're putting out a message like that. With TV, although it's like really, really nice, it's more fast-paced, because we are creating content non-stop. Even when you're on a breakfast show, you're literally creating content as it happens, and you continuously do the process. We do our very best to take our time and piece things together. But obviously, if you're going to do this every 24 hours, it's not even every 24 hours. It's like literally throughout the whole 24 hours, like you're creating. Like right now, I was on the breakfast show this morning. Tomorrow, I'll probably be on the breakfast show, that kind of thing. So you're constantly doing that like that. So that means you're not having that time to like craft something together and then do it the way you want to do it and then experiment. If it doesn't work, you switch it up and whatever. It's fast paced. So I think when it comes to the public eye, the next thing I would really want to do is get into more of that work where I can like script some things, put it together, shoot it, and take my time with it, and then put it out there as like really good content. Although I've learned, for me to be able to do that, I had to learn fast-paced TV, which is commercial TV, which is everyday TV, where you're creating content every single day.
I actually think you might actually have a podcast very soon, a year or two.
Ooh, I'm actually thinking of one. I just haven't decided to do it yet.
It's an interesting. It's humbling, but it's interesting. I think you're used to this already, so you'd probably enjoy it. It's something nice to play around with, I have to admit. It's, yeah, I do it in the comfort of my house, so yeah, it's
fun, which is pretty cool. And you don't really meet your guests.
Well, Tapiwa has issues. But
no, just putting it out there.
I don't. It might change next year. How the setup might change. I might go video, maybe. I don't know how I feel about that. I might say that I'll wait it 2 years and see if I still like it enough to continue. But I'm going to wait for the year to clock and then the next. But yeah, you should try it. It's fun, and I think it would Maybe you need something slower pace, because podcast is slower pace and very humbling. Yeah, it's not fast paced. And for me, I might need something a little bit fast paced to just balance out my life. Not TV, of course. Maybe adding a little flavor and video to the podcast just to makes sense.
That would be nice. Besides, you like fashion, you like to dress up. I think you'd do well.
I like to dress up when I want to dress up. I want to, like, it's a job where you have to dress up.
Yeah, you have to do it once a week. You have to do it once a week.
It's a lot of work. I'm not disciplined like that. And you know one thing, right? I my success, okay, it's not accidental, but it's very undisciplined success. I'm not disciplined in the sense of how you expect people to be disciplined. Like, some people have to go to work every day to an office. I don't. So if it makes sense, I have created this world for myself where I've gotten very comfortable. So me doing that every week is uncomfortable. Maybe it's something I might do and need. Yeah, but now I'm like very comfortable. Yeah, I might just need to switch it up anyway. I'm not contradicting myself. So, I like how you just keep saying yeah.
Because I'm listening. I'm hearing what you're saying. And I'm like, she's going around in circles. She's trying to avoid this.
I am. But good idea, though. Nee, thanks. Mm-hmm. My mentor would love you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well... Okay, now you're making me nervous. Anyway, so we're coming to the end of the podcast. And I'd like to give you an opportunity to ask me a question.
Like, as in one?
You have two?
As in singular. Like, question, singular, one question.
Yeah, sure, one question. I don't want to give you. Okay.
Okay. Here's a question. If you were... Like I said when we met and we've been interacting for a couple of days now, you're the type of person who seems to have things figured out in terms of how they want to go about life, how they want to be approached, how they want to approach others, how they want to be treated. You're very deliberate about when you want to rest, when you want to work, when you want to recharge and stuff like that. And I like that. That's fine. But what I would like to know is, out of this seemingly well orchestrated life of yours, what's the one thing you feel you would change about yourself? Or, and the second part of that is, what's the one thing you feel you do not have control over that you would like to have control?
I'll start with the last one. I don't have control over my time or how things randomly... It's not random, but I always have a lot that comes up in a week. So if you're talking to me on a Friday, or if you're talking to me on a Sunday or a Monday, I will say I'm available, right? Then by Friday, I am swamped by different activities. And it's because I don't have like a very structured routine outside my self-routine, which is like how I spend my morning and what I do in my free time. So I don't really have, and I'm okay with that. I work well with not having structure. So yeah, it's like the one thing I don't have control over is just how random my days are, which is so fun, and how random I get could be a blessing and a curse.
Are they random because of work?
Random because of work and just my lifestyle. Right, I do. I'm that friend that you can call and say, if you have that capacity, let's grab, let's have dinner. Are you available now? Do you want to do this and that and that? Do you want to go for a movie? Like, it's a lot of people don't think that's my life. Like, a lot of people think I'm very, very busy, which is true, but there's like a little bit of lightness to it. I don't know how to explain it, but there's a little bit of lightness to it that you might find me, you might not. You might catch me, you might not. It makes sense. And I think people in my life have really learned how to like handle that. Because I can change my, I can change plans and still remain sane the next day. Like, I have no attachments to people or plans.
Yeah.
So like, things can change. Like, you can call me up and say, let's go for a movie. And you can tell me 30 minutes we're not going. That won't disturb anything. Because I still have things to do and I still like that. And like, it's just the other part where I can clearly just clear my 2 hours and spend it with somebody and go on with my time. Or I can just clear my day and be at home. So, yeah. What was your first question? That one I'm trying
to think. One thing that you would you feel you would change about yourself?
As me as an individual?
Yeah, you as an individual. What would you you think you'd like to change about yourself? Because, again, this is from a context or backdrop of you seem to have everything figured out, how you like things to happen. But what's the one thing you feel you don't necessarily like that much about yourself and you'd like to change?
So one thing about me is I grew up not liking myself. That's what led to people pleasing. I'm at a point where I understand and accept myself. So necessarily I wouldn't have anything I would like to change about myself because I think I'm good. But life is balanced. Like, there are certain traits that might not reflect well in certain spaces, and I can feel it. I know me being bubbly and energy in pink hair and everything might not be right for a certain space, but might be right for a certain space. So again, I'm very, I'll take the word random. I'm trying my best to answer this question without not sounding too full of myself.
Hey, yeah, how do you like it now? Tough
it's
questions.
So hard when you want to be polite.
Okay.
I've reached a point where I'm okay with myself and there's nothing really I'd like to change about myself. I'm at acceptance. So if you tell me there's something about me I need to change, it comes from a place of me. If I have to answer that, it comes from a place of me thinking I'm not good enough. That makes me feel like there's something I should be searching for in this world to complete me. Or I'm not complete. Yes. So I'm coming from that space to know that I am complete with my flaws or not. And because life is balanced, one trait might be good in one space, it might not be good in the next space. I just need to know and lean more in the spaces I thrive into with my whole personality. So yeah, it's for me personally, I just won't answer that because I probably have, but because it will come from a place of insecurity, thinking there's something about me that I need to change. But again, as human beings, we're taught that. I was taught that a lot growing up, that you need to change this and you need to change that, you're not good enough for that and that. I always thought I was even smart enough. But then I just didn't have the spaces. I wasn't just in the right space for me to thrive. So for anybody listening, it's a good question. It's good something. And if you can answer Tapiwa's question, you should answer it, right? Then ask yourself why you think about it in that way and just introspect. Where does the self-sabotage come in, and why aren't you accepting yourself as who you are, and how can you actually just, it all starts with acceptance. Just accept I'm this human being who's very random, might not get well with a lot of people, but it's okay, I accept this about myself. When you accept it, it's easy to manage it or mitigate it. But yeah, I also like listening to Joe Hudson's work when it comes to just learning about yourself as a human being and your emotions and everything, apart from therapy. And yeah, it's him who said, if you feel like there's something about you you need to change, why do you think that way? Like, it's honestly, it's like I was about to send to you this morning, by the way, because you're making me sit in me. But, but yeah, I don't know if I've answered your question, but like, it's hard for me to answer that because I really just genuinely accept myself and that it is. And also, one thing I learned is I know how I want to be loved. And I heard some say this. I know how I want to be loved, and you should know how you want to be loved. I do not want to be loved how somebody else thinks they should love me. So I, like, I know, like, I want to be treated this way and I want to be loved this way. And I want the person, the other end, to learn that. Friends, a partner, family, right? And I also want to learn how they want to be loved. So it's that, to be honest, also, yeah. I don't know if that makes sense, but I thought I would, like, kind of answer that as well, because I feel like a lot of people say you're very complex. I want to be loved this way, not the notion in your head on how you should love a human being, because I'm like, no. So yeah, and I think I communicate that well with my family and friends so far. Does that answer your question? That was so intense, Lord. I never had to think this much today. That was good. That was a good question.
There we go. Well, to be fair, I did this for a living. I will I'll do my follow-up questions. I'll text my follow-up questions.
Okay.
Because ultimately, we still haven't finished business. So I'll definitely just...
Thanks for putting it out.
Exactly. The people need to know. So I'll just add it to the list of things we need to conclude.
All right, cool. To conclude, what do you look forward to?
My life.
Yeah. Okay. Can I get an actual answer? Please.
Well, what am I looking forward to? Man, other than making more money.
Facts. I mentioned that any day, guys.
But what?
Yeah, making more money is me any day, but yeah, continue.
Perfect. I think the most important thing for me at the moment is to really add that family aspect. I think I've got maybe a bit of my friends, add that family aspect to my life in general, like my balance. I've really done a good job of, again, adding my physical health into the mix. My mental health is also pretty good in terms of how I balance my work, how I balance my physical life. Is physical life correct? The fitness?
Yeah, it's physical. Like mental,
physical life.
It's like the mental,
yeah, okay,
emotional and physical. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I think I've done a pretty good job, because what I've managed to do is look completely different from what I used to look like a couple of months ago. So most people that...
Oh, sorry, guys, for fun, we're going to post these pictures on the Tonse page, né? So we can look at the fine man, né? Two things. Continue.
Yeah. So that's literally what happened, which was I looked very, very different. And I made a deliberate decision to say, you know what? I want to look different. Let me, you know, add that. So I did that, and it worked out. So I'm like, oh, damn. You really have control over your life. And that's a very important lesson that I try to reiterate to myself and my friends. Like, you have control over your life, and you need to, the more you realize that, the more you deliberate about that, the more you have control over your life. External factors happen, but they ultimately don't have control over your life. Am I speaking from a place of privilege? Possibly. Very, very slim. Possibly. Simply because I've been in a position where I felt like I don't have control over my time. I don't have control over my life. And now I'm in a point where I feel like I can dictate what I need to do at what time, obviously within the confines of, you know, maybe employment and stuff like that, or the law as well. I'm not just going to go around breaking the law, but my point still remains, you do have control over your life. So what aspect I would like to add on is being very present, very, 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 very present with my family. They're not in Lusaka. I have family in Lusaka, but like my dad is in Livingston. My sisters are also in Livingston, and they also have school and the likes of that, like in boarding school and whatever. So I really want to get to a point where I can be present, not just once a year during Christmas for a week or two. And that's simply because I've got work throughout the year and I'm like pushing the bag and I'm doing all that kind of stuff, but going like, nah, I need to take, you know, like I need to go visit home for like a week at a random point during the year. And not only do that once a year, do it like three times a year. I want to be calling them every week, the same way you've put something in place for you, where you literally call your family or friends every other week. Maybe I can do that twice a week. Maybe I can do that three times a week. Randomly just call these people and just check on them. Yeah, that. So I think that's one aspect that's missing, and I really want to get a handle on it.
So you know what? I thought when you were saying I have to put in time for family, I thought you were talking about marriage. So
you thought I was what? Oh, marriage.
Yes.
Fair.
No, I just like to be problematic.
That's fair. I see why you think that.
This was fun. I don't want to get into that with you right now. But this was so much fun. We've been talking for 2 hours straight.
Yeah, it is. It is fun. I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. Very, very unpredictable. So it went. What a day. I'm so grateful you're part of this. And yeah, I hope everybody enjoys this episode or learns something about you or me, or just about themselves, most importantly. Or just really, I hope it makes them laugh.
Yeah, me too.
I laughed so much at this. So yeah, this is it. And for everybody listening, thank you so much for tuning in. I love it when you're here. I hope you love this episode. I'm gonna do special stuff for this episode, né? I hope I don't forget.
You might, because it's what, January?
Yeah, okay, cool. All right. Thank you so much. Bye for now.